Have you ever wondered what moths like to eat? Why, when they see clothes, their hearts skip a beat? They will gnaw, they will munch, they will nibble and chew on wool or angora, to name just a few. Your socks and your ball gowns, your blazers and briefs, your jeans and your hats, and your silk handkerchiefs. Each moth has a favorite, a number one food, a thing they'll devour when they're in the mood. For this little guy, it's a red silken gown, and his ultimate wish is to gobble one down. What's his name, do you ask? Well, it's Marvin the Moth, and his mission right now is to find that red cloth. As Marvin flew high on one late summer's eve, his eyes spotted something he could not believe. A grand regal lady, with a need to impress, promenading around in a bright red silk dress. Oh my goodness, by golly, a sight to behold! That shine, wow, that stitching, so scrumptious each fold! She looks so darn good, like a walking buffet! A mountainous meal that is getting away! But just as he reached the thin hem of her dress, the grand regal lady turned round in distress. And she swatted her hand with queenly disgust, smacking Marvin away in a move so unjust. You nasty winged thing, get away, you vile brute! This dress is brand new and expensive to boot! Marvin reeled with the force of her swat and flew off. Just you wait, snooty lady, he growled with a scoff. I will taste what you're wearing, oh, I will find a way. I will dine on that dress if it takes me all day. But when he turned round, the grand lady had vanished, and he was left hanging, still hungry, no, famished. Did you see a grand lady pass by here just now? She is wearing my munchies, my banquet, my chow. I know where she is. I can still smell her scent. Do you know what I'll do? I'll sneak in through that vent. When he reached the pipe's end, Marvin squeezed through a crack. But instead of his dinner, was greeted by black. Then all of a sudden, the lights were turned on, and the dark around Marvin was suddenly gone. There on a stage, quite enormous in size, stood the grand regal lady, a sight for sore eyes. But who were these people? And what was that noise? And why were they playing with rhythm and poise? It's okay, Marvin thought. There is no need to stress. They won't get in the way of me getting that dress. That silk looks so good, so enticing, so red. Here's the plan. I will gobble, I will slurp up each thread. I will rip, I will tear, I will shear, I will pull, I will munch, I will nosh till my stomach is full. This dinner of mine, it is fit for a king. But the grand regal lady then started to sing.
Oh my heart, it is breaking apart. Where art thou?
What a strange song it was, full of vibrating sounds, like the long, forlorn howls of a pack of wild hounds. When a series of horns, mostly French, reared their heads, they tooted a tune that blew Marvin to shreds. A flourish of flutes and three oboes joined in, a tsunami of sound, such a furious din! And before our moth knew it, he was up in the air, being tossed back and forth by an almighty blare. The maestro's baton then got in Marvin's way. Oh, really? A jewel? Fine, en garde, touché! Marvin lunged and he parried, retreating somewhat. But the maestro kept going. What a pain in the butt! As their battle raged on, the music changed pace and the players fought hard just to stay in the race. In the end, with one stroke, the conductor won out. And he smacked Marvin down at the end of their bout. As the lights slowly dimmed, it was time for Act 3. Will Marvin keep going? Will he triumph? Let's see.
While the others returned to their seats and sat down, Marvin studied the stage with a studious frown. A new plan, a new scheme, quickly formed in his mind. He would use lightning speed. He would strike from behind. And when the blue velvet curtain rose up, Marvin swooped, flying fast through the air while he yippied and whooped. But a tuba rose up. Oops, it swallowed him whole, trapping Marvin deep down in a dark metal bowl. For a moment he rested, not sure what to do, till the lead tuba player inhaled and then blew. Then the saxophones blared and the clarinets squeaked and the timpanis roared and the choir then shrieked and the basses and cellos and oboes and flutes and the chimes and the trumpets were all in cahoots. How the tambourines shook and the glockenspiel rang and the chandeliers cracked as the grand lady sang. So instead, he was pinged from stage left to stage right with no chance of dinner, not even one bite, and with one final twang of some copper harp strings, Marvin's delicate body shot into the wings.
"It's hopeless. It's over. Enough is enough. I surrender. I'm done. It has just been too tough. I am pulling the plug, and I no longer care. So forget the red dress and the whole silk affair."
Then a smell filled the air, just as Marvin gave in. Its exquisite perfume made his little head spin. As the heavenly scent wafted by, oh so sweet, Marvin knew with one whiff he was in for a treat.
Oh! Dozens of dresses, red silk ones to boot, hung down from the rafters like low-hanging fruit. "Look at all that red cloth! What a joy! What a feat! I did it! I made it! My mission's complete!"
Marvin took a quick bite.
"So delicious!" he wailed.
Then he gorged and he gobbled, he grazed and inhaled. Then he wolfed down some more and he gulped and he crammed and he munched and he noshed till his stomach was jammed. If in the beginning, like Marvin, you fail and you find yourself stuck and your plans all derail, if you think it's too hard, if you're all out of juice, if you want to give up and you feel it's no use, just keep doing the thing that seems too hard to do. 'Cause if Marvin can do it, you know you can too.